Let's read together Exodus chapters 28 and 29. In these two chapters, we have instructions concerning the priesthood, the garments of the priests in chapter 28, and the consecration of the priests in chapter 29. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 6 of chapter 28. Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. They shall take the gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and the fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, artistically worked. Let's begin our study of these chapters, Exodus 28 and 29, with some background notes. In Exodus chapters 25, 26, and 27, the last three chapters that we considered, we saw God's detailed instructions for the furnishings of the tabernacle and for the tabernacle itself, including the courtyard, which contained the bronze altar of sacrifice and the bronze laver for priestly washings. Now in the next two chapters, Exodus 28 and 29, we have God's detailed instructions for the priests, their clothing in chapter 28, and their consecration in chapter 29. Just as the tabernacle and its furnishings were filled with typical meaning concerning the person and work of Christ and the way of worship, so the garments of the priests and the consecration of the priests are filled with typical meaning, which we will consider now under our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one: the clothing of the priests is filled with meaning. The clothing of the priests is filled with meaning. We know from the New Testament scriptures that Aaron, the high priest here in the Old Testament, is a type or spiritual picture of Christ, our high priest. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hebrews 4:14. We also know from the New Testament scriptures that Aaron's sons and descendants, who were the priests in the Old Testament, are a type or spiritual picture of believers today. 1 Peter 2:5 says that Christians are a holy priesthood, and they offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:5. So now here in Exodus chapter 28, we see that God's design of the priest's clothing enhances these spiritual pictures that we have in the priest, especially the high priest. The first thing to notice about the priest's garments is that they were for glory and for beauty. Verse 2, once again: and you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty. Look also over at verse 40. The glory and beauty of the priest's clothing certainly portrays the glory and beauty of our Lord's high priestly office and the glory and beauty of our priesthood, because we've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. We see in verse 4 that the high priest's garments consisted of a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a tunic, a sash, and a turban. The beautiful colors and gold thread in these garments certainly bring out the perfections of our Lord's deity and humanity, as we've already seen in the curtains and veils and gold of the tabernacle. Now from verse 6 down to verse 14, we have the details concerning the ephod of the high priest. The ephod was a two-piece sleeveless garment joined at the shoulders by straps. On the shoulder straps were placed two onyx or emerald stones engraved with the 12 tribes of Israel, six tribes on each shoulder. As the high priest carried God's people on his shoulders, the place of strength, so the Lord carries his people today on his strong shoulders. Let me ask you, have you come to know and experience God's strong shoulders? From verse 15 through verse 29, we have details concerning the breastplate of the high priest. Over the ephod, the high priest wore a breastplate. On the breastplate were 12 precious stones arranged in four rows of three stones each. The 12 stones, again, represented the 12 tribes of Israel, and in the breastplate, they were over the heart of the high priest. Over the heart represents the place of love. So as the high priest carried God's people on his shoulders and over his heart, so the Lord carries his people in his strength and in his love. That's your position this morning if you're a believer. What a blessed place of security. Now from verses 30 through 39 of the chapter, we have some more details concerning the garments of the high priest. Question: what were the Urim and the Thummim mentioned in verse 30? Answer: we don't know for sure. We do know from the rest of the Old Testament scriptures where the Urim and the Thummim are mentioned that they were used by the high priest to receive answers from the Lord in reference to decision making. Most likely, they were precious stones that were kept in the fold or pouch of the breastplate, as we see in verse 30. Because Urim and Thummim mean lights and perfections in the Hebrew language, it could be that God controlled the way these stones appeared when used for decision-making by the high priest. But don't get the idea that it was like dice being thrown by the high priest. No. We see from verses 31 through 35 that the high priest wore a blue robe beneath the ephod and over his white tunic. On the hem of this robe were alternating gold bells and pomegranates, speaking of the testimony of service and the fruit of service. Even in the Holy of Holies, the tinkling of the bells indicated the continual service of the high priest. What a vivid picture of our Lord's continual fruitful service as high priest. On the high priest's turban was a plate of pure gold with the words, "Holy to the Lord," engraved on it, as we see in verses 36 through 38. Let's read verse 38. "So it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord." Exodus 28, verse 38. The basic garment of the priest was the tunic of white fine linen. We see in verses 40 through 43 that all the priests wore white linen tunics and sashes and caps. Let's read those verses. "For Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make caps for them for glory and beauty. So you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him." The mandatory linen undergarments emphasize the dignity and modesty which should characterize priests, then and today. The clothing of the priests is filled with meaning. Doctrinal point number two: the consecration of the priests is filled with meaning. The consecration of the priests is filled with meaning. In chapter 29, we have instructions for the consecration of the priests. Let's read verses 1 through 9. "And this is what you shall do to them to hallow them for ministering to me as priests. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the intricately woven band of the ephod. You shall put the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats or the caps on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons." Here in Exodus chapter 29, we have the instructions for the consecration of the priests. These instructions are carried out in Leviticus chapter 8. In the consecration of the priests, the importance of both salvation and sanctification is portrayed in the meaning. In verse 4, we see that Aaron and his sons had to be first washed with water, speaking of the washing of regeneration that is necessary for all believer priests today. I'm reading Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now the renewing of the Holy Spirit is portrayed here in the consecration of the priests with the anointing of the priests with oil. Verses 7 and 20. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit, as we've seen before. In verses 10 through 21, we see the application of the sacrificial blood emphasized. The blood sacrifices of the bull and the rams certainly emphasize that salvation is not apart from the shedding of Christ's blood in his substitutionary death at the cross. When the priests put their hands on the sacrifice, the idea was identification with the sacrifice that was given as a substitute. Sanctification of the priest is seen in the application of the blood of the sacrifice to the right earlobes and right thumbs and right big toes of the priest. Verse 20, then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. I think it's easy to see how this represents our responsibility as priests to dedicate and regulate what we hear and what we do and where we go so that it is pleasing to the Lord. In verses 22 through 37, we have more details of the consecration of the priests. In these verses, we read of wave offerings and heave offerings. Wave offerings were gestured toward the altar and back again to the priest. Heave offerings were gestured toward God in heaven and back again to the priest. In other words, I give to the Lord and he gives back to me. We see that the priest could eat certain portions of some of these offerings. As believer priests, we find that Christ is our spiritual sustenance as well as the sacrifice for our sins. All of these details were part of the seven-day consecration of the priests. The consecration of the priests is filled with meaning. Practical application for Exodus 28 and 29. Don't forget the continual burnt offering. Don't forget the continual burnt offering. Verses 38 through 46 of chapter 29. Let's read verses 38 and 39. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Every morning and every evening, there was a lamb offered as a burnt offering on the altar of sacrifice. It was called the continual burnt offering, as we see in verse 42. On this basis, the Lord said that he would meet and fellowship with his people. Do you see the obvious spiritual lesson and practical application? Every day, morning and evening, the Lord must be before us in worship and praise and the study of his word. Then we will experience a deeper fellowship with the Lord. Don't forget the continual burnt offering.